Studio 65 on the Sens Underground Network. Welcome to episode number 20 of the Sens Call-Ups for Tuesday, April 9th, 2013. The Sens are in a bit of a tailspin with a season-worst four-game losing streak, and some fans are getting nervous about the playoffs as well as a little restless over the play of certain players. Tonight, it should have been Anderson versus Bishop, or possibly Conacher versus the Lightning. But what it's turned into is O'Rourke versus the Senators. Boys, we'll get into this game later on, but on the four-game losing streak, how you feeling?
Top of the world, I tell you.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't really care much until the Florida loss.
Yeah, they're just starting to mount up a little bit more.
That one. Before. Yeah.
Brutal.
And not a game that they should have lost.
You know what's even worse than that, though? Uh-oh. Blue Gatorade. Like, I'm stuck drinking this blue Gatorade stuff. It's awful.
Now, is that the...
That's the blueberry one, isn't it?
Yeah, what is this? Yeah, blueberry pomegranate.
Smurf color.
Nothing juice. Natural is actually blue, except for the sky.
Or the blueberry.
Yeah, but blueberries...
No, they're more purple, though.
Anyway. Schnappy. Can't believe we're talking about blue food.
Look, it's all we got.
It's like it's really like drinking plastic. It's awful. Yeah.
Is that the stuff with the mostly aspartame rather than sugar? The low calorie stuff?
Yeah, I've got the G2. I think G2. It's more
horrible.
Yeah, it's more sodium than anything.
Yep.
Now, this is me trying to lose weight, right? Granted, that pizza at lunch didn't really help, or the beer at lunch.
Oh, well.
Or the two hot chocolates from Starbucks.
Yeah. Jeez.
Game on!
Well, you got energy for that. That's good. All right. Game on.
Game on.
First game up is game number 37, the Senators at the Sabres. At this point, the Senators have lost 178 games to injury, the Sabres, 97. It's a little closer, at least, but it's still just ridiculous. This one's going to be pretty quick because there's not a whole lot to talk about from this game, so I'll try and get through it fairly quickly. Right at the beginning of the first period, Gonchar blocks a shot on one of the first shifts of the game and goes straight to the dressing room, and I don't know about you guys, but I cringed right away going, no, we can't lose another defenseman. We just can't. But fortunately, he was back later in the period. No big deal. Neil took an interference penalty on Scott, but the penalty kill was up to the job. The Sabres were having trouble getting in the zone. Only one shot on goal through the entire penalty kill. Pretty good. Not long after the penalty expired, Adam scored, but Leonard had been interfered with and was having trouble resetting himself. No call on goalie interference. The goal stood. Little piece of trivia that came out during the first period was that Zach Smith uses sticks made from the pattern of Alex Ovechkin.
That's a nasty curve. Have you ever seen that in the stores?
I don't know how anybody... No. I mean, I'm not a hockey player, and I admit this, but I don't know how anybody could do anything with that. I mean, the curve is really good for your forehand, but your backhand?
I think that's like why his curve is that way, so he can do both the forehand and backhand, because it kind of curves in and curves out. It's like an S.
Hey, nothing's weirder than the Peter Schaefer one, though.
That was the sort of the half moon looking thing, wasn't it?
Yeah,
where he shaved the heel so much?
Like he torqued it halfway through.
Yeah.
Just so that he could lift it. Man.
That one was weird. Anyway, neat little piece of trivia there. Just over halfway through the game, 12 minutes, 30 seconds in, Mathot gets a great shot during a rush by the Calder line, as they seem to be being called these days. And Mathot scores, so the score's tied 1-1. Through the rest of the first period, not a whole lot going on. Couple of penalties. End of the first period, shots are 12-9 for the Senators. I did notice through this game, and I'll be trying to point out a few of them at least. I didn't write them all down. There was one particular call that never got made in this game. And there should have been several of them, at least from the game I was watching. And that was high sticking. Wasn't a single one, but there were quite a few of them that should have been called and weren't. First one was just at the beginning, not long into the second period. La Tendresse took a pretty nasty high stick. No call. There was lots of action going back and forth. No whistles. Very quick second period. Not a lot of whistles going on. Almost 9 minutes into the period, Coletta takes a charging penalty after, what was it, about 10, 12 strides to get in and hit Mathot, and then he was protesting the call that it wasn't charging. Yeah, shut
up. At least you're a good friend, anyways, right?
Oh yeah, we go.
You understand him.
Oh yes, well, absolutely.
Is that are you? I misread the notes. I don't remember. Yeah.
And then during that power play, Smith gets high sticked again. No call.
High sticks are free tonight.
Oh, is that what it was? Then why couldn't somebody just high stick Coletta, preferably with something sharp embedded into the stick? That'd be good. Last couple of seconds of the second period, Silverberg had a great chance, no goal, so still tied at the end of the second period. Shots were 26-20 for the Sens. Third period, Greiba scored just under 2 minutes into the game. Great goal, we're up. Beginning of the third period, things are going to be good. And about a minute and a half later, the Senators lost a face-off in their own zone. The puck went out to the perimeter, shot in, deflected in front, credited to Ott, and the game is tied up all over again. A couple of penalties back and forth. Around this eight-minute mark, there was a big scrum in front of the Buffalo net where Phillips ended being tied up with Myers and Ott because there had somebody had taken a run at Conacher, but I can't remember who it was. And there was no call on anything, nothing at all, which I thought was typical. Not Montreal typical, but typical. Around the 14:30 mark, Flynn scored. And it was one of those goals that you were just watching the play knowing that was going to happen. And it did. And then a grand total of 12 seconds later, that really good pushback following a goal. And Hesch scores on a really ugly spinorama move. And that's the game. Senators were up 2-1 at the beginning of the third period, and they lose the game 4-2. Final shots on goal, 37-30. That game they should have won. They were playing really well. They were outplaying the Sabres a lot of the game, but didn't work. All right.
Two goals in a row just killed it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, the first one, I was looking at it for the 30 seconds before going, yep, this is going to be a goal at some point. It's just totally breaking down. And sure enough, it did. But 12 seconds later was just brutal. I felt so bad for it was Leonard was in that for that one. But it was just brutal. Anyway, that's that game. Next one. And you're up. Sens and yep. Panthers from the 6 o'clock start on Sunday.
All right, yeah. So since it's Sunday night, it's a little bit early. So hanging out with my buddy and his two-year-old. So I don't know why I took on the notes. Anyway, so this will be real short because it's kind of hard when you're talking about trains and garbage trucks and Toothy and Vinu and all of these fun things while trying to pay attention to the game. All right, so Andy's in, so he's back from the long stint. Benoit in, and JOB out, Lundin out. Yay. Really not much to talk about in this. Now, Connor.
So why are we here?
As you were.
Gee.
Laton Dress just scored.
Woohoo!
Oh, now?
Yeah.
In tonight's game. Yes. Yeah, I just got your note. I'm like, you didn't score in this game. I'm all confused. Anyway, so Connor Kerr opens up the scoring with his first play. So that was a backdoor play from Ulan Zibi. So got a new name for this line again. Ulan Zibi Conch! Anyway, so I'll be working on that a little bit more on Thursday. Anyway, so that little guy can just really sneak into the corners. An absolute backdoor. No one picked him up there. Then Gotch opens up the second with a tip-in goal to tie it at one. And Cassian and Peros go. Now, that was a pretty good fight by Cassian.
Yeah, pretty good scrap.
I didn't know anything about him before Ottawa picked him up.
Well, he hadn't played a lot in the NHL.
Yeah, but he stood up.
Yeah, he's a big boy, and he's tough.
Yeah. And Peros ended it just by pretty much like tripping up Cassian to go down and just end it instead of trying to knock him out. I think he was just exhausted and just kept getting fed into the face there. So,
well, luckily he's got that cushioning with the mustache, so he's all good.
I know. Yeah, just my buddy's wife is just like, why does he have that mustache? He looks
it's the porn stash.
Yeah. It's a thing. It's his thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like McLean.
Yeah, we've all got our shticks, right? Anyways.
Let's move on.
Kulikov gets one midway through the
third. Pen, are you Rihanna-ing?
I'm opposite.
I really don't like the mental image that just came up there. Let's move on.
Yeah, I'm wearing my jersey as pants, and that's it.
I don't even want to know how that works, but anyway.
No. Little. Cool. Kulikov gets one midway through the third period. Now the Sens are down 2-1 to really the worst team in the East. So that pretty much summed up the game. I think, Clemenson played pretty well, even though, yes, he does have a terrible, terrible helmet.
He played way beyond his usual abilities because he is one of the worst goalies at the moment, but
yeah,
that's an odd game.
He had a couple of great saves, though. There's a couple spots where it should have been a tap-in, and he just stole it. But other than that, I mean, kind of
maybe just one too many passes and
too fancy.
That's it. That's all. So lots of missed shots too. Shut down defensively and just too many fancy plays. Kondra, I just put a note here. Kondra's being Kondra.
Yeah, tough game for him.
He'll either get into the zone, and Shredder said it. He called it last year. Just falls down. Or misses very high. Very high. The roster spot's going to be pretty difficult next year.
Let's see.
I don't know. Anyway. So that's that game. Man, these game recaps are getting fast.
I'm sure some people will be.
They're also pretty depressing too.
Yeah, it'd be really nice to have a win to be.
I mean, fans are getting ugly at each other now.
Yeah,
and this happens every time. You know, we're passionate fans, and don't mistake the passion for the bandwagon. Like when people get really upset at their team, sometimes they are the bandwagon people, and they're going to jump off the bridge and act like idiots, but they come right back, and those aren't the bandwagon people. The passionate ones will complain, they'll be upset, but they still cheer their team. Like they ride the highs, they ride the lows, and don't mistake passion for bandwagon. But wow, like you just look at the forums, you look at the on Facebook or on Twitter or wherever, right? And you can see people starting to chirp at each other. We're all grumpy. We need a win here.
Oh, big time!
It's 2-2. We might get one.
2-2 now. Gonchar got an assist. And actually, that's something else, because during this losing streak, Gonchar didn't get any points. When they were hot, he had his assist streak there.
Yeah, that's true. 10 games in a row and hasn't got anything since then. So
one hell of a cornerstone right now.
How's that prediction panel going, guys?
Yeah, I know.
Jeez. Yeah, the last couple games, I just picked the opposition because everyone was going for Sens, and I figured, well, I'll be the guy. I don't really feel happy about getting the last couple points. Jeez. I did it again tonight. You know, I predicted Tampa to win. And
we're just going to change your name to Judas.
I just want to be wrong.
Ooh,
I want to be wrong.
That's harsh. It's funny, but it's harsh. Anyway. Well, we'll probably get another update or two from, well, depending on how long this recording goes tonight, about what tonight's game is going on to. But in the meantime,
16 minutes left.
We can handle 16 more minutes, surely.
Overtime shootout, who knows. Now that you've had a chance, I mean, when we were talking last week, we'd only had a very brief exposure to Conacher, and so we've seen him in a few more games since then, including tonight's, obviously. What are your thoughts? Mine, very quickly, was I'm really happy to be wrong about how negative I was. He's still a work in progress. He's going to improve because he's young. But he's a lot more player than I was initially aware of as far as his ability. He's quick, but he's also trying to think of who it was that Gord Wilson used to refer to as a water bug. Like he just sort of skips all over the place and he's really hard to catch or you know, get into a corner or anything like that because he's just so quick and small that he's like a terrier almost.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be a liability because of his size. No, he's got speed and skill and tenacity.
Well, I was a little worried.
Truculence, testosterone.
I was a little worried he'd be like a Ryan Shannon. And don't get me wrong, Ryan Shannon had his use, but he wasn't. This guy has got way more grit and way more determination, and he's not afraid to be in front of the net, and he's not afraid to be getting hit, cross-checked, and everything else. Got a cross-check to the head earlier this evening. He's just a lot more tenacious, and I'm really enjoying watching him playing with Silverberg and Zibanejad. Those three together are a lot of fun. Need some polish, but a lot of fun. What about you guys?
Just like the name. Oh, Zibby Conch! Still working on it. Give it a shot. It's fun.
Zibby Gonch?
Conch.
Conch.
Conch. Okay.
Try it. Come on.
No, conch piece.
Come on.
That's your shtick, not mine.
See, we all have our shticks.
oh, dear.
Actually, a good story about this is my friend's grandmother actually lives down in Tampa. And she's big into the Canadian, from Oshawa, I guess. And so she's lived down there for a bunch of years. She has three TVs in her apartment, one in each room. So she'll have one on the Tampa game, one on NASCAR, and one on the Blue Jays game. And even if they're all at the same time, she'll have one on for each one. And when she learned that Conacher got traded, she called my friend's mom, forced her to like look it up online. She doesn't know anything about hockey. Look it up online, see where he got traded, who he got moved for, and everything else. And then she realized it's from Ottawa. So I was like, oh, okay, well, that'll be good. So fans were real pissed last
week. They were upset, yeah.
Yeah,
it was well liked.
Yeah, a lot.
And now I see why.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was worried about the size, especially because I'm expecting him to long-term play with Turris, even though I do like that the line that they're on right now quite a bit. The size had me worried. But he's very nimble.
Yeah. Now, we recorded Wednesday last week when after the trade on the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And I saw Shredder Thursday night as it happened, going to a ball hockey game, which didn't happen. But anyway, met him and he's upset, really upset at the trade, does not like it. Thinks we're really his, you know, mark my words, we're going to regret trading Bishop. Now, I can't, on one level, I can't disagree. Like Ben Bishop, we know he's a good goalie and we're going to miss him. He's going to be a divisional opponent. I think we are going to have games where we're going to regret trading this guy. I think we knew that, but it's all in the value you get back. Is it going to be worth it in what we get back in that forward? So
exactly. We were going to regret whichever goalie was traded.
Yes.
We were going to regret that.
It's no matter just, which one went, we were going to regret
it. Well, I don't think you can go wrong with either one. Like keeping.
Oh, no. Whichever one leaves, we're going to regret it. And whichever ones we keep, we're going to like that we're keeping. True. So I think you said it perfectly. It's what did we get back? We can only base the value of the trade on whether what we get back works out.
Well, all know how Shredder feels about our goalies, so. We should have him on the show sometime.
We should.
Let
him get a good rant in about them. That could be very entertaining. Let's work on that. Stay tuned, folks. Never know.
Still can't believe you loved Gerber.
We had a conversation earlier this week, just staying in the, it wasn't about the trade exactly, but there was a question that came up earlier this week about... Okay, you can retire that sound clip anytime.
That was pretty funny listening to it last week again.
Yeah, stay off the chocolate next time.
Yeah.
Oh, good heavens. Those mini eggs are terrible.
Conversation earlier this week about Chris Neal. And you know, where does his importance to this team lie in terms of both how he performs, like what it is that he does on the ice, game in, game out, and whether his value is greater during the regular season or during the playoffs, which is kind of a very complicated question. I realize that, but it was a complicated discussion. Really. No? Okay. Hit me.
Well, I mean, take the last part. I think he is a playoff player. He's the kind of guy you want on your team when you go into the playoffs, but he's not a liability in the regular season. And like a Konopka, like, remember last year, Konopka really showed his value in the playoffs, but he was just he seemed like a terrible liability in the season.
Yeah, but when you get a 5 minute from hitting from the side, right?
Well, I think they
cleaned that up a bit.
I think he changed his game, just to go to Konopka for a second. I think Konopka changed his game in the playoffs. And yeah, maybe if he had played that way throughout the season, I think he would have been far more use to this team.
Hmm. There's a lot of those players. Trying
to goad some of the other guys into taking penalties and other stuff too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the playoffs, you don't do that. You get under their skin. I guess Chris Neal's real good at that.
Oh, yeah. Well, apparently Konecker is too. We'll have to see. But apparently he's pretty good at getting under people's skin as well.
Yeah.
Get 114 minutes.
To Theron Fleury are quite accurate.
Yeah. Or even Brendan Gallagher from Montreal. Kind of the annoying little pesky, not afraid to muck it up guy. I think it'll be interesting to see him in a playoff mode.
We need more pesky, that's for sure, because lately we've been poopy.
Yeah, not too much pesky.
Yeah, you like that
in a while.
The poopy sense. Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
I'm getting nervous, guys. It's still 2-2 with 9 minutes left. I don't want to go to a shootout against Bishop.
I don't want to go to a shootout. Not with against, let's see, Le Cavalier.
I'll take a point Saint right Louis, now.
Stamkos.
You know what? Yeah, you're right.
I'll take a point right now.
I'll take the point. Just break this freaking streak.
Guys, I felt dirty last night. I was actually happy that the Leafs won and had to do a thank you Kessel because he scored and they won in regulation. It's not because I want to see the Leafs succeed. It's just because I've accepted they're in the playoffs. They're ahead of us, but New York Rangers are on our heels.
Well, we want them ahead of us. So the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
I don't want to play the position game. I just want to stay in, and at that point, that means the people underneath you got to cheer against.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, did it kind of sound like this? Thank you, Kessel.
It's kind of that slow clap, though.
Yeah, a little wiser clap.
Hey, what I would love to see though is for Toronto. I don't remember if I said this on the show already. I lose track. But yeah, Toronto will be so proud of making it in. Go out, play Boston, and lose 4-0.
I got a bad feeling about Toronto in the playoffs this year, guys.
No.
I don't think we're going to get to see what we want to see.
They are one bad play away from being out in no time at all. They need to lose. They lose one piece of the puzzle, and they're done.
Just saying. I'm not going to gloat.
Oh, I'm not going to gloat. Well, until it happens.
Then we'll gloat.
Exactly. I'm not. I'm not going to go out and start talking smack about it. But I don't think they're going to do all that well.
No, I just don't
because hate the players. they're a team built for the regular season. They are not a team built for the playoffs.
I don't think they knew they were going to make the playoffs.
Speaking of the blue team, have you heard about that new product that is out to help with that stain?
Gatorade?
No.
Maybe that's why it's terrible.
Oh, one of our listeners submitted the commercial. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, sure. Bring it on.
Have you or a loved one ever cheered for the Maple Leafs? But while the shame of cheering for the blue and white may go away, there is the stain that you just can't get out. Tried everything? Now you need to try CB Ink's Out Damn Blue Spot Remover. This is the only spot remover that is good for both the greasy Tucker stains and also the dreaded combination blue and white stain. Just shake the contents of the red can and then the black can, mix them together in the special silver cup. Apply generously to the affected area. Let sit for 5 to 10 minutes and rinse. For heavy stains, reapply as necessary. Feel a whole new you. Watch your friends and co-workers marvel as you watch by. They won't believe it's still you. Warning, cannot be removed the stain from an actual ex-Leaf. That one is just too deep. For removing stains from other teams, just mix at half strength as these stains are way easier to remove. In some extreme cases, clients have had to use the CB Ink Relocation Protection Program where we move you to Kanata, Stittsville, or Kempville locations and give you a whole new identity to start over.
Nice.
Thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say thanks, CB Inc., for submitting that. Some humor in a time of depression is much needed.
Absolutely. Well done. We encourage user submissions. Again, I can't say this enough. Whether you want to do a game recap or you want to send us something like that, Send it to us.
Please don't leave the sound effects just to me.
I'll second the motion. Please do not leave the sound effects to Canuck. I'd appreciate that. Anyway, stuff going on around the league. There have been a couple of hits that have happened in the past week that I want to touch on just briefly. I wanted to see what you thought about them. The first one was the Michael Delzato hit on Neil from Pittsburgh, which has him out.
I didn't actually see this one, but he's concussed. I know that.
He is concussed.
It's pretty big hit. Yeah.
It was a big hit. The decision was that there would be no supplemental discipline on it.
Oh, yes, I did see this. He kind of like went back. Like a
spinning back elbow almost.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just sort of tucked in and sticking out a little bit because he was bracing himself. I don't think it was a dirty hit. I think it was more of a last second, he's coming towards me. He just sort of tightened himself up, but his elbow, rather than being right into his side, was sticking out behind him a little bit. And that's what caught Neil.
So they went to the NHL office and there was a review. What? No suspension or what?
No. No supplemental discipline. Jeez. And the next one was the Rose Hill hit on Lupul.
Lupul. That was great.
It was kind of a Malachi crunch.
And Lupul has just been on fire. Reference. Whereas CB Inc's brother-in-law said he's hot.
That was, yeah, moving on. That one just looked like a hockey, like it was a...
Don't say two, hockey play.
Yeah, there was nothing dirty about that play. It was two players on one team and one player on the other, and they all came together, and that's pretty much the end of it. I don't really have anything else to say on that one. There was no supplemental on that one either. A couple of weeks ago, I think it was, a couple of episodes back, we were talking about Ovechkin and how he really wasn't playing all that well.
We called him out and he responded.
Holy crap, has he ever. Lighting it up doesn't even begin to cover what he's been able to do over the past couple of weeks. Now, I caught something, I think it was on the radio, that he was moved from left wing to right wing for a while, and now he's playing a little bit on both sides, and that seems to have helped his game. I admit, I don't watch Capitals games. In fact, I don't usually even watch the highlights.
I don't even think you can.
Well, I probably could if I could find an online feed for it, something like that, but I'm just not interested, so I don't. I have enough trouble keeping up with Senators games and a few other things these days. So, but he's gone from being just down in the wastelands of the scoring title to, I think he was tied with Stamkos. I haven't looked up the stats today. But just
didn't
astonishing.
Did he take over? Yeah.
Did he take over the lead last night?
The Capitals have gone from being a non-playoff team to now they're in the top of that division, thus being
Montreal
third spot.
Right now too, yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
Wow. So, you know, this whole dream of dropping to six and playing the Jets in third?
The Jets are winning too, so let's go.
We'll see. I think it's incredible. I mean, he's obviously decided to really apply himself, really apply himself to rebuilding his game, and it's worked. And I think maybe not having a Hunter as his coach, it took him a while to get used to the new system, but not having Dale Hunter as his coach has really helped him get back to playing the kind of game that really works for him.
Yeah.
How long it lasts, who knows?
No, he's taken over 26 goals. He got another one tonight. He got at least one tonight.
I could say beast mode.
Well, here's the question. Considering how important he is to his team's current position in the standings.
Trade him.
Okay, that's not where I was going, but all right. It'll be an off-season acquisition.
They're not going to trade him.
No. If the season, if the season ends right now, but at the end of the regular season, who would you be looking at for an MVP?
Whoa,
Crosby.
Whoa. What happened to Mathot here?
What?
Uh-oh, Mathot, something's happening.
Things are happening.
Everything is happening.
Seriously, Twitter? But if Crosby's out for the rest of the season, is he still more valuable to his team? Which is what the criteria for MVP is, right? Most valuable player to their team. And Ovechkin has taken this team and taken it from being a bottom dweller to in the playoffs. Is Crosby still more valuable to his team than Ovechkin is to the Capitals?
Well, season per season, you can have the comparison, but overall, it's been Crosby so far. But this season,
otherwise,
there's a definite argument.
This season, well, I mean, MVPs per season, it's not all time.
Oh, no, you have to look back over the career.
Oh, that's
only for defensemen. Norris. Sorry.
That's the Norris.
Yeah.
Good point by you. Anyway, I think it's certainly makes the argument, especially the longer that Crosby's out, I think it makes the argument for Ovechkin as possible MVP candidate makes it even stronger.
Shh, I still want Carlson to win the Norris.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah,
There's a story in the news today about J.S. Giguere getting a little upset with some of his teammates.
Yeah.
And he went off on them big style. And
Gangnam style?
I was wondering if you're going with that.
No, just big. He really called them out about, I know that we're out of the playoffs, but give it a rest. Okay. As I was saying, before I was interrupted. All right, so moving on.
Sorry, you kind of gave me a lob ball there.
There was an article today from Steve Ott from Buffalo. That he thinks that being booed at home is completely ridiculous. And I bring this up only because it's a discussion we've had a couple of times, and I thought it would be interesting to get the player's side of things. I'm not going to read the whole article. You can read it if you read it if you want. It was
no, tell me, Daddy.
Tell me the story.
Tell me a story.
Yeah.
Tell me the duck story.
We're flying through this show a little too fast. We got to take up some time, right?
I suppose.
We're laughing. We haven't laughed in a week.
I know. Forgot how that feels. Happiness and joy, you know. Anyway, so Steve Ott.
Anyway, Steve Ott was saying that he thinks it's completely ridiculous that they're getting booed at home. And he basically was saying that, if you think that this is really helping, you're wrong. They go into other buildings and they've been winning there, and other teams have been having the same amount of frustration, but their fans were cheering for them and stand behind their team and respect their worth ethic.
Steve, why you no work harder? You take puck, put in net now. Do it again.
And how effective was that when your parents did that to you when you were growing up?
Well, hell, SensGab's getting into a bunch of schools now, so pretty well, I guess.
At times, but it's not always effective. It works well overall, perhaps, in the long term. But
yeah, but notice how much she wants to get away from family.
From her parents.
We're going to get in trouble for that one.
Gabrielle, that was the other two who were talking about that, not me. Okay, just so we're clear. Anyway, it was just an interesting article, I thought, because it was reinforcing the point I was making. That's why I thought it was important.
But does he not? He's on Buffalo, right?
Yes.
Does he not realize in what a disaster they are?
Yes, he does. But
maybe he should get traded to Montreal. They'd never boo there.
Or Toronto.
Yeah, might get hit by a waffle. That's what I'm doing the next Leafs game. I'm bringing my Eggo waffles.
Okay, you do that.
Toss straight away. Nice.
Yeah, well, go for that.
Get another stinker. Who cares to get tossed?
Last one I wanted to mention was that Mark Edward Vlasic took an $8,378.38 penalty for slashing Danny Heatley. And I believe
is there a donate button?
Well, he got himself in a bit of a pickle, so maybe he's.
Jeez.
There you go. But I believe I was reading that Danny Heatley's now out for the rest of the season.
Yay!
So maybe that's freaking an even bigger reason. even better reason to donate if you can find a copy to donate to. There you
donate
go.
Now to support the fine for
exactly.
We really needed the CSI clip on that one. Can we put him? It's all in good fun, right? Yeah. So
exactly. Right.
All the best to your recovery, Danny Heatley.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I just like the fact that they took that to the NHL headquarters and. That'll be $8,378.38, please. And to your change.
Okay. Who scored? Tampa just scored.
No. Wait, we're watching the delayed feed.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, come on.
What happened? Ladies and gentlemen,
Cavalier.
This is your live in-game recaps on post-production, which you'll probably hear tomorrow.
Oh.
It's today.
We're going to get denied a point here, aren't we?
Yeah, I think we've lost it now.
Who was that? Le Cavalier is in front of the net. I got sound off, so. St. Louis, over to, must be Stamkos.
Stammer got it. See, that's what I get for talking about Ovechkin.
I completely forgot one thing before we get to the email. One of the big pieces of news about the Senators this week that I completely forgot to mention earlier was that there was footage that came out yesterday of Erik Karlsson skating at the Bell Senseplex. It was Dan Sagan who brought that to the attention of everybody. Apparently there were about 10 reporters, or not 10, maybe 6. There were a bunch of people staking out the Bell Senseplex today waiting to see if he was skating today, and he was.
That looked really good.
It's astonishing. A 70% severed Achilles, and he's skating 2 months, almost to the day later, because it happened on...
Yesterday they had the video of him doing the footwork, and just amazing footwork.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's better than I can ever skate.
Oh, easily. Hands down, he could blow away any beer league guy.
How long has he been gone?
2 months.
2 months? Well, it's a shortened season and all, right? So you got to speed everything up.
And then today he's doing the shot drills, and the goalie is his doctor that performed the operation.
John Chow, I think his name is.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. I didn't hear that part.
Just
it's like, hey, thanks for helping me out. Now go stand there,
and let me shoot pieces of rubber at you.
Yeah,
what a great idea. Now, of course, the Twitterverse and the Sens fan universe, Sens Army is going, oh my God, he could be back. He could be back in time for the playoffs. Wouldn't it be awesome if he came back sooner than expected? Blah, blah, blah.
Empty net.
I don't want to see him in a Senators uniform before next September. Period.
If he can do it, I want him in.
You're not with Don Brennan.
I'm not with Don Brennan.
Don Brennan is just like, he's convinced he's coming back.
If he's at 95%, I don't want him in. He has to be at 100. So I'm kind of going between.
Unless it's the Cup Finals.
If it's the Cup Finals and he's at 100%, because that's in June, which is another, 6-7 weeks away?
Yeah.
Maybe. But I don't want him going, oh, yeah, I can. I think it was Yorkie was saying this morning, it's about pain management. How much pain can you manage? I'm like, I don't want him to manage any of it. If he's getting pain, that means it's not healed. If it's not healed, he shouldn't be out there. No matter how much he wants to be. And we know he does. I mean, he's a professional athlete with more drive than, most groups of 20 or 30 put together. But I don't want to see him out there.
If it's painful and it's not aggravating, play.
Hmm.
If it's not detrimental to him, play.
I'm sure he must, if you go for a long walk.
No.
Yeah, your feet get tired. I'm sure he's go for a long skate on the canal. His foot must be tired. Like he must when he's doing those drills, he must notice it right away. So I'm sure he's a long ways away from being able to play a full game. But
yeah, this is a strength that he's got to rebuild now in the endurance, right?
Yeah.
I remember Todd White talking about it on the radio, and I can't remember who he was talking about. But just it's your cardio and your fitness that you've got to get back up.
Yeah.
And that's what's the hard part. But now just imagine if Cowan's skating the way he is now and Carlson's back. Whew. Is this game over yet?
I think it's gonna be not for me yet, but
it's gonna be another.
I got 13.8 seconds left on my feed. And I'm fearing an exact score prediction here.
Oh, did you do it again?
I'm fearing it.
When I wanted to go for Tampa too, I just had to do something opposite of you.
I guess you answered my question.
It's official, at least by the ESPN website that I'm watching for a box score. So if you did 3-2.
Nope, I said 4-2.
Okay. No exact score for you.
Oh, good gravy. Well, that's going to kill the show.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of rage. I got a lot of...
Hey, neat. SensGab just did the Rihanna-ing thing with the bong jersey that we sent her.
She did?
Yeah. She just posted that in the forum.
You're not supposed to... Oh. Good thing. Good to see you're paying attention to what we're doing here. Anyway... Well, let's get through four emails to get through. So let's get through those and then we can get out of here because it really hasn't been all that much of a fun evening.
Hold on. I'm checking the forums.
Easy now.
I just retweeted it. You can check that. That's easier.
Email.
You're up first with one from Boingy.
I'm up first with one from Boingy? What about Jesper?
I'll get to that one after.
All right. Boingy. Subject, okay, this is serious. Losing 4 in a row? Make that 5. Losing to Florida? After losing to Buffalo? Really? I'll say it now. Ottawa's season is in trouble. When you are 3 lousy points away from coughing up a playoff spot, you can't leave 4 points on the table against crappy teams like the Panthers and the Sabres and the Tampa Bay. You just can't. Please tell me that the pesky season where they hung out and tough against really crappy odds isn't now going to end like this. Not with a bang or even a whimper, but just a dull thud. Please tell me Alfie's last season won't end like that, especially not while the Leafs go galloping into the playoffs. I have to live here in the screaming tree land. You have no idea how much my nose is going to get rubbed in. SensGab, CB Inc., I may have to come crash on the call-ups coaches for a while. Please tell me it won't end this way. Slightly despairing Boingy.
Yeah.
Remember back when we were pesky and doing really well, defying the odds, and the sky was the limit?
The future was wide open. Into the great wide open. Under the skies.
Yeah, great, really energy, you know, driving music on that. It really pumps me up.
Yeah,
kind of like when he did the halftime show at the Super Bowl a few years ago, and everybody went, "Okay, whatever." Yeah, sorry, Boingy, we're all feeling the same pain.
Right? I passed the weed, man.
Not that we would do.
Yeah, not that we'd be doing that.
Smooth.
Do you guys think this is gonna be Alfie's last season?
I don't know.
He's lost a step.
He's lost a step, but he's really enjoying playing.
Well, I say he's lost a step, but he's still leading the team in goals, right?
Yeah. He may have lost a step because he's 41, absolutely, but he's really enjoying playing. And I mean, he's got 4 other Swedes on the team with them. They're all young. They're all really energized. I think it's really, like, if I watch him in an interview, he just seems a lot more positive than last year. He's not looking really worn out and just exhausted. He's got a lot more now in the short season, et cetera, but I'm hoping he comes back next year, but we'll see. I don't want to see this as Alfie's last season if this really goes sideways, which I hope it won't. I'm not getting that Debbie Downer on it yet, but it's getting bad. Anyway, on that note, We actually had an email from somebody in Sweden, from Jesper Jutlind. I checked on how to pronounce that. And he says, "Hi, guys. I just started listening to your podcast today, and I love it. But as a Swede, I have to point out that the F in Silverberg is silent. So it should just be Silverberg, just the V, which basically means Silver Mountain in Swedish. Keep making a great podcast. Go sends go from Jesper." Thanks, Jesper. Go ahead.
I was also told that I can't use the F in the podcast anymore also.
Exactly.
Just because someone doesn't want to edit.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Could be worse.
Is there an issue?
Oh, brother. All right. Pan, you want to get the next one?
Yeah.
From Stu?
Stu Kutu. Or Stu Kutsu, but he's in Toronto. So
bless you.
Probably Stu Kutu. Stu Kutu, I like it. All right. So subject, stench in Toronto. There's a certain stench swimming around the 416 these days. I walked into my trailer this morning, all excited about Carlson skating, just to be drowned out by the Leafers talking about how Kessel scored 2 goals last night and them tearing through the newspaper to get to the standings and discuss who they want to play in the first round. By the way, it's Winnipeg. Then come lunchtime, they're fantasizing about an Ottawa-Toronto series. They always win those. And Adam Sandler even made a song about it quite...
Q their rendition.
Huh. Oh, look at all these words. I remind them probably that I was 8 years old when that happened. I'm 22 now, by the way. Wow. This whole buzz around the city is making me sick. And I haven't been in this position since I was 14. I do not know how to feel. I can't even stand the thought of Toronto making it and Ottawa not. I understand it's likely, and I do not blame our team. Use punctuation next time, Stuka 2. It helps.
He's a first-time emailer, isn't he?
Hey, he's going to be the last-time emailer with a comment like that.
Yeah. Oh, calm down.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Stuka 2.
It's okay, Stu.
It kind of sounds
we're all just a little upset.
I just want to make the playoffs and sweep those screaming... Wow. Screaming threes. Screaming trees!
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Stu, it's not you, it's me.
Yeah, I was going to say, that wasn't a typo.
Now you think of it, though, because he's 22. In the playoffs, well, for me, no offense, Cardinal. But that was a big part of like my adolescence and young, yeah. Like my early 20s.
Yeah.
Especially when school's done in April and you've got nothing else to do for summer. Like going through it when you're 18, 19, 20, and you think about these guys out in Toronto. So if Stu's 22 and it's been 8 years, he would have been 14. Yeah, he said 14 the last time that the Leafs saw the playoffs.
But Ottawa sweeping Toronto was even years before that. So that would be, like, he literally would be 10.
Yeah, yeah, he said he was 8.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It's there you go. Time
goes by, I guess, right? Jeez.
Do you want me to get the last one?
Sure.
Okay. The last one is from Thad. And he says, "Hey, gents, I actually emailed a similar question to Pierre Maguire, but I wanted to know your thoughts. As this season has progressed, we've seen Seth Jones' stock rise to the point that he's now the unquestioned number one prospect for the 2013 draft. Is there a concern that sometimes D-men are overrated? A couple of examples jump out at me. In 2006, Eric Johnson was selected ahead of Jordan Staal and Jonathan Toews. Ouch. There were people saying that Victor Hedman should have been taken ahead of John Tavares. That would have been a mistake. And that was in 2009. And in 2010, some thought that Adam Larson should be taken ahead of Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Gabriel Landeskog, and Jonathan Huberdeau. Again, ouch. Just wondering if, based on recent history, you would consider taking McKinnon at number one overall, or is Jones just that good?" Now, before we started, the lads on the podcast asked that I answer this question at least a little bit.
I don't know, junior hockey.
Well, I can only answer it in part, but I'm going to answer part of it specifically and part of it generally. I I only really follow the OHL because there are enough teams in the OHL to keep me busy, but I try and watch a little bit of the Western Hockey League and a little bit of the Q when I can. I do have a friend of mine who's out in, who actually lives in Portland, Oregon, who gets to watch Seth Jones play on a regular basis. And she's told me that he is quite astonishing to watch. So imagine Cody Ceci, except better. I mean, really, when you look at the relative draft positions, that's not that unfair a comparison in many ways. Seth Jones is a bit more defensive, but I'm a big believer in the team taking whoever is really seen as the best player. You take him number one, unless you have a really, really strong need for something. If for some peculiar reason you've already had five first number one overall picks and they've all been defensemen and you want to take a forward instead, okay. But otherwise, if he is, you know, above everybody else as the no questions asked number one overall pick, then you take him. Nate MacKinnon is going to be a good pick for somebody. No question. No question. But as far as defensemen are sometimes overrated, I wanted to look at my favorite draft to look at this sort of thing.
Overrated.
I wanted to look back at the 2008 draft. For a very specific reason. We talked about the 2008 draft a few weeks ago. Thank you. I hadn't thought of it as a think back machine. That's awesome. In 2008, the number one pick overall was Steve Stamkos. And the number two overall pick was Drew Doughty. Very different players. And very valuable to their respective teams. Number three was Zach Bogosian. Number four was Alex Pietrangelo. Number five was Luke Shen. And number six was Nikita Filatov.
Let's not talk about him.
Philly. I know. Philly don't do drafts, does he?
But when you look at it that way, you know, Stamkos was better than Drew Doughty. So he was definitely number one. But that doesn't make Drew Doughty not valuable. It just means he was, I don't think anybody would argue that he was the number one, Stamkos was number one overall. But when you look past six, especially if you go further down, it's Colin Wilson. I'm not familiar with this name at all. He was drafted by Nashville. Michael Boddicker, Josh Bailey, Cody Hodgson, Kyle Beach, Chicago, don't know it all, Tyler Myers, Colton Tubert, yeah. Zach Boychuk, and then Erik Karlsson was selected 15th. Followed by Joel Colburn, Jake Gardner, Chet Picard, Lucas Trezza, and Michael Delzato at 20.
Gardner should have gone first.
No well, kidding. Of course. No, of but course. All I'm saying is, you know, this is the way that they were seen at the time they were drafted. This is the way that the teams that were drafting according to their need and according to yeah. where they thought these players fit in. And is Seth Jones more valuable than Nate MacKinnon in an absolute world? Yes. From what I've been able to see, which is limited, and from what all the experts are saying, he is. So if unless the team is absolutely desperate for a forward and have tons of really good defensive picks coming up through their system, then he is the right one to pick. Does it mean that it's going to be an absolute lock guarantee that he'll be a better player than MacKinnon overall long-term? Nope. But that's what drafts are. they're only yeah. one small step above a lottery. It's spin the wheel and see what happens. So, I mean, that's the way I look at it. Because looking back at previous drafts, that's just 2008. Look at, you know, further and further back. There are lots of players who were drafted in the top 10 who never play a game in the NHL.
And you look a lot of, like, just looking at this list here, you probably still take Doughty at 2.
Yeah.
Karlsson probably dropped a bit because of his size, because he was 150 pounds, I think, when he was drafted.
Well, when he was drafted,
he's tiny.
Pierre Maguire was going, that's a brilliant pick. Everybody else was going, who?
Yeah,
because I mean, he was down in the he was way down. I think it was in either the 40s or the 60s, and people were saying, "What are you doing?" But it worked out because Ottawa's drafting and scouting. Well, the scouting was really good, and that's why we've been able to draft so well over the long term. So, I'd have to say that is Seth Jones a number one unquestionable? Yeah, he is, and whoever gets him will. Get a great player, and whoever gets MacKinnon will get a great player, and whoever gets number three, like there are a lot of really good players out there. And right, just as an aside, Sean Monahan from the Ottawa 67s has been dropping. He was in the top five for a while earlier this year, and he's now, he's still in the top 10, but he's been dropping a little bit because the 67s had a brutal year. Absolutely brutal. They traded away CC. They traded away, I just forgot his name. I just had it a second ago. They traded away a lot of, yeah. They traded away a lot of players to get picks, but to rebuild the team. They kind of pulled a Brian Murray. But that doesn't diminish how incredibly good Monahan is. I mean, putting him out there with bad players, he still looks good. So put him out there with quality players, and he'll look even better. Kind of like Tavares when he first went to the Islanders. John Tavares didn't look good for the first couple of years because, A, he was young, so he's a boy playing a man's game, and, B, he didn't have talent around him. Kind of like Alfie in his early years in Ottawa. Not too far off. So no matter where you fall, you'll be a good draft pick. Anyway, so yeah, I'd say Jones, he'll be number one overall, but there'll be lots of good players in the top 10. Anything
to add? Oh, let's stop the pain. Stop the pain.
All right, we'll stop the pain.
Is that all we've got then? Yeah.
Pretty much. Unless you want to add anything, I was just going to go.
No.
What's coming up? What's coming up, Pan?
Coming up is tomorrow is game number 40 of the season, which is Thursday.
It's Tuesday.
Well, it'll be tomorrow by the time people listen to this, so that's okay. Yeah.
I don't know why I think today is Wednesday, because I just want today to be over, I think.
It's Friday.
Okay, yeah, you can stop that too. Thursday, April 11th, Sens at Flyers at 7 o'clock, and that is the Big Rig Meetup. Man, you want to go over that?
Yep. So we've got a couple of tables or a really big section now. Thanks to Ray Girl for getting that set up for us. So we'll be on the dining side. I think when you get there, just ask for call-ups. Yeah, so we'll be there, I think, around 6:15, 6:30. Puck drops at 7, so it'll be a good time to meet up and
don't leave it to the last minute. You may not get through the door.
Yeah, please let me know if you're gonna go, because I got a little bit panicked this afternoon.
That's an understatement.
And then iMessage didn't work and I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, first world problem right there. Oh my god.
I have to text them individually because I don't want to send an email. So that'll be Thursday. Should be fun though.
Yeah, it should be fun. No matter what. Friday, April 12th, the Sens are in New Jersey. Monday, the 15th, they're in Boston. And a week today, Tuesday, the 16th, they're back at home against the Hurricanes. So that's we'll have four games to go over next week, I presume.
How many of these do you guys think they're going to win?
I'm not even going to comment on that. Not tonight. I'm not in the right frame of mind to be objective. I'm feeling a little negative. I don't want to be that, so I'm just going to let it go. I didn't say that.
He's not in the mood. So you are in the mood?
I didn't say that either. Stop putting words in my mouth. That was a random sound bite, but thank you. I like that one.
I needed something to fill the void there.
Thank you. In the meantime, feel free to email us at podcast@sensecallups.com. Love getting email. Gives us stuff to talk about. Tell us we're wrong. Tell us you disagree. Tell us we're right. That'll get your email read for sure, if you agree with us. Visit the forums and join the conversations at sensunderground.com. There's always a game thread. There's other talk about playoffs and injury clinics. And there's a thread about the get-together, all sorts of other stuff going on there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. Boys, I'm hoping for a better podcast next week, because this one's been a bit dark, a bit down. So hopefully for next week, we'll have some better news. And in the meantime, looking forward to seeing folks on Thursday. Till next week. Ciao.
See ya.
Dan O'Rourke, you suck. He's on fire. NHL, Mr. O'Rourke, can you explain how you blew that call in the Sens game last night? O'Rourke? Because Carlson dove.
That's brilliant.
Retweet and favorite. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's well brought up.